Hey, all you movie buffs out there, I'm David Gaddy.
And I'm Jeremiah Orr.
Together we are
the Theonauts. And you're listening to Finding Christ in Cinema with your hosts, Michael and Brendan.
Right here at GCTNetwork.com, your Great Commission transmission.
On this episode of Finding Christ in Cinema, we fall down the Christmas tree and land in Christmas Town as we look for Christian themes in The Nightmare Before Christmas. What can the teacher of Ecclesiastes show us about Halloween Town? Why didn't Christmas go as Jack planned? All that and more in 3, 2, 1. Hey, come on in. Admission is free. Grab a bowl of popcorn, extra butter, of course, and find a seat smack dab in the middle. It's time for Finding Christ in Cinema, episode number 76. I'm Michael.
And it's your boy, Brendan.
Join us and together we'll dig deeper into the silver screen classics of yesteryear, as well as the box office hits of today. We'll take a closer look at the stories they tell and see if we find the face of Jesus looking back. We're going to explore the deeper meanings of these films, their plots and their twists, the characters and their choices, and how we can relate them to the gospel of salvation and ultimately our Christian walk. You're tuned into Finding Christ in Cinema on the GCT Network.
This is your Great Commission transmission.
Your boy Brendan.
It's your boy Brendan.
Yeah, I heard all about that on the latest episode of our sister show, The Theonauts. Yeah, yes. You called in and left a voice message on there. And so everybody get over to the Theonauts podcast. You can find that at gctnetwork.com. Listen to their latest show and learn all about your boy, Brendan.
All about him.
When did you make that phone call to them? Before or after you came to the studio here?
I can't remember.
Well.
I honestly can't remember. It might have been. It was before. I think it was before.
Brendan, what did we talk about last week on the show?
Oh, last week. You know, I'm drawing a blank right now.
The Avengers.
Oh, the Avengers Age of Ultron. How could I forget? You know, we even talked about that movie at my little Tuesday Bible talk.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
And what anything that anybody was able to glean out of the show? Were you able to help people along with finding Christ in, you know, your fellow Christian?
Oh, yeah. Well, I just explained to them my point about the vision.
Yeah.
How the vision as the character is a representative of grace, because, you know, a vision agreed with Ultron that everyone was doomed.
Yeah.
But the vision was not going to preemptively doom them, condemn them.
And in that, listen later on in this episode, because I'm going to draw on that just a little bit. But when you told them that, everybody looked at each other and said, thank you, Brendan.
Well, except for Sir Richard. He doesn't think the Vision is a strong character.
Sir Richard just has to disagree.
He doesn't. Well, you know.
He's a disagreeable fellow.
He makes a little sense.
A little. All right. And did you have any afterthoughts, addendums, retractions, redactions? I did have one, and I forgot what it was.
Oh, darn.
So we'll move on.
Okay.
Okay. What are we going to talk about this episode?
Oh, we're going to talk about The Nightmare Before Christmas.
We're going back to 1993. Are you ready? Go and watch this.
I think so.
All right.
Welcome to an extraordinary world filled with magic and wonder. Open your mind and let yourself go to a place where every day is Halloween. And every night, Jack Skellington...
I am the Pumpkin King!
...dreams of something different.
What is this?
It's someplace new.
Jack, look out! Whoa!
What's this? What's this? There's color everywhere. What's this? There's white things in the air. What's this? I can't believe my eyes. I must be dreaming. Wake up, Jack, the scissors there!
What is this?
Haven't you heard of peace on earth and goodwill toward men?
Touchstone Pictures presents the enchanting story of two very special dreamers and the holiday spirit that brought them together. From the imagination of Tim Burton comes The Nightmare Before Christmas.
And what did Santa bring you, honey?
Ah!
A classic film loved by millions all around the world, just celebrating its 22-year anniversary.
Wow.
Wow, Brendan, you were just turning four when this first came out. It made its New York Film Festival debut October 9th of 1993.
Okay.
It had a limited release starting in the United States starting on October 13th. That's 2 days ago.
Right.
So 22 years ago.
And 2 days.
And 2 days, almost exactly. And then it was for the full release, released on October 29th or 29th, 1993. And you just turned 4 years old, a scant 2 days after.
Sure.
Yeah. So what are some of your memories here watching this when you were three, turning 4 years old?
Well, honestly, I don't think I even watched it then.
No?
I didn't really know of this movie until I would say about fourth or fifth grade. But I'd say when was that? That was 1998, 1999, somewhere in there. That's when I started realizing, like, oh, all these friends, because I would see T-shirts of Jack Skellington. And I would see T-shirts of, Halloween Town and Christmas Town. I would see all this merchandise. I'm like, what is all this?
What's this?
What's this? She's wearing a black shirt. What's this? It looks like it really hurts. What's this?
Oh, no, I don't know about that.
There's just so much you can do with that song.
Yes.
So then I remember when I finally watched it, though, I thought to myself, okay, it was fun. I liked it. It bounced. That's about it.
And it petered out after that. I saw it in the theaters when it came out in 1993. My best friend, Uncle Dave, dragged me to the theaters. He's a huge Danny Elfman fan.
Uncle Dave Macon?
No.
Oh.
And a huge fan of
Tim Burton. Right.
Huge. And so...
He loved the first two Batman movies.
He just loved Tim Burton. Yeah. And then when you mix Danny Elfman, which they often do mix.
Yes.
He's in Hog Heaven, man. And so we went and saw this, and my initial impressions were, wow, this is harkening back to a favorite movie of mine as a child, which was Mad Monster Party, the Rankin Bass claymation, Boris Karloff in there, great. I mean, it's like Hotel Transylvania and Nightmare Before Christmas mixed together 40 years ago,
Okay.
And so it was very nostalgic for me.
Yeah.
Visually speaking, wow, that's amazing. And they did all that stop motion and the sets are, amazing. The music's great. Danny Elfman, I'm not an Oingo Boingo fan at all by any stretch of the imagination, but you get him in the composer's chair creating creepy music. He's an absolute genius in my book.
True.
Musical, big, spectacular, spectacle.
We'll get on that later.
Oh, okay. All right. So anyhow, I'll just say this. It hasn't stood the test of time for me.
Me neither.
He's so happy that I said it first.
It takes a load off my shoulders.
I don't know that we need to jump into this kind of a conversation, but I don't understand the fanaticism of the fandom. I just don't understand it. Now, I've revealed a little bit about myself on the show over the past couple of years, my musical tastes and things like that, and I am drawn to the creepy and the macabre and mm-hmm. things like that, and I can find, there was a big old article that you had brought to my attention last year, I think, about monsters and Christianity and things. Do you remember what I'm talking about? Do you recall that?
Vaguely, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so I've always loved the universal monster movies, and I love horror punk, and I love the Misfits, and and things like this.
And I think that article, if I remember it correctly, was based on the news peg that Universal had just announced that they're going to start remaking all the old classic
reboot.
Yes,
and but there's something that turns me off about billions of people flocking to this one film, and it's kind of like harkening back to Sound and Fury and,
Signifying what, Michael?
I don't know, but we're going to see what it signifies in this film coming right up. But first of all, this movie does deserve shout-outs.
It does, okay? Yes, sir.
Deserves a lot of them, and we already... well, let's start off with Tim Burton, the director.
Producer.
Oh, producer.
He didn't direct it.
Oh, how did I goof that up?
I don't know.
Okay.
Directed by Henry Selick.
Okay, well, he wrote...
screenplay by Caroline Thompson.
Okay. Oh, really? Here on IMDb, it says writers Tim Burton based on a story
and characters by Tim Burton. So, okay, so that's true. But the screenplay itself is Caroline Thompson.
Okay. What did Tim Burton do with this movie? Why is it Tim Burton's Nightmare Before Christmas?
He had the idea. He's the big name producer. And he put this out. This is his...
Okay, no shout out for you, Mr. Burton.
Okay.
Good, because I was going to make a point that he's very hit and miss for me. He's a very hit and miss movie maker
guy.
For me.
Yeah. Movie maker
Some
guy.
Some things person. Are like, wow, that's really good. And the other things are like, man, that was a pile of what? I don't know. Anyway, okay, then let's go back to Danny Elfman, shall we? Because yes. Not only did
I don't know,
he...
I don't know why he didn't start off with Danny Elfman, because he gets my respect for this movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely.
He is definitely the shining star of this film.
Not only did he compose the music...
So the whole mood...
Oh, yeah. The whole mood is that unnerving, creepy, rarely satisfied mood. Like, you can tell there's always something on edge with the music. Not only is that Danny Elfman, not only is that your boy Danny Elfman, but your boy Danny Elfman was also Jack's singing voice.
Right.
So a lot of vocal talent as well going into the Jack character.
He's also the character of Beryl, Lock, Stock, and Beryl.
Yeah.
And he's the voice of the clown with the tearaway face. I am the clown with... Well, that's singing, though, so... I am the clown.
Well, it's a different character. Face.
Yes, it is.
It's a different character.
Well, so Danny Elfman, genius. Great, great job. But Jack's speaking voice, and I never knew this. I never even bothered to look this up. I knew it wasn't Danny Elfman, but I didn't know who was doing it. And that's Chris Sarandon, the man who gave Susan her last name because they were married. So Chris Sarandon as Jack Skellington, and great job. And they chose him strictly because his speaking voice sounded like Danny's singing voice. They said, yeah, that works.
I honestly, for the longest time, I thought it was one person.
Oh, I'm sure most people still do.
Yeah.
I mean, except for nerdy, geeky people that are looking into...
Right. You know, making podcasts around the movie.
Okay, now, Catherine O'Hara as Sally. She also does the voice of Shock. Lock, Shock, and Barrel.
Okay.
I said stock, but it's Lock, Shock, and Barrel. And she is a, Tim Burton usually is surrounded by a core group. It's kind of like Christopher Nolan.
It's like a lot of producer directors,
yeah,
writers.
And what did you say about that on when we were discussing that very topic on a Christopher Nolan movie? It's just that they fit so well, their style.
They fit so well together. And then once you actually get into the process of whatever you're working on, it just goes more fluidly.
Well, because a producer or a director needs to know that he can count on this character being...
True.
Yes.
True.
Being true.
Yes. Oh.
Yay.
Oh, hey. Yeah.
Straight as an arrow, shooting true. Sinning not, as a matter of fact. He doesn't want his actors to come in and sin with his characters. So she's one of the at least two actors in this production that are Tim Burton associates. I enjoyed William Hickey as the evil scientist. His vocal prowess, I thought he was one of the greatest voices in this.
True.
In this movie.
It was very, it just sounded
theatric.
Weird. Yeah.
You know, like that a little bit over
Sally,
the top. Yes.
Sally.
Yes, yes, yes. Good stuff.
Deadly Nightshade.
or when Jack is saying, can you create me some of these? And shows him
the reindeer.
Yeah. His response to that is great. Great vocalization. Okay. The other actor that is associated so Catherine O'Hara and Glenn Shaddix. Well, both of them were in Beetlejuice.
Ah. Wait a minute, hold on.
Huh.
Glenn Yes. Shaddix
is the mayor.
He's the mayor in this film.
Has anyone seen Jack? He's the interior designer guy.
Yes, that's right. Okay.
And he's a great character actor in Beetlejuice.
Yes, yes, okay.
I didn't know that that Pee-wee Herman was involved in this at all.
I didn't either.
But he was Locke.
Yeah.
Locke, why Shock, and Barrel.
Why couldn't he get a bigger role?
I don't know. Well, which one was Locke? I think the one, the little one with the red hair and the mask was the main, and that was probably Paul Rubens.
I don't know.
And then the other voice actor that I want to shout out to is Ken Page.
I'm the boogeyman.
Oh, I was listening to him again today, and it's like I've heard him in something else and recently, and now it's killing me because I can't place where I've heard his voice recently. But great voice actor. Anything else? Any other
Greg Proops. I didn't even know he was in this. That's funny.
Greg Proops what? what?
Greg Proops. He's a stand-up comedian. He did a lot of work on the Drew Carey Show and then on Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Okay.
He's a cool little guy.
I feel like I should know who Edward Ivory is, the voice of Santa. Should I? I mean, there's not even a picture of him on IMDb, so I'm kind of guessing that I shouldn't know who he is. Good stuff. But I think all the shout-outs, I mean, what else do we need to... What else? Anything else? Anybody have any suggestions? good lighting? Good, you know?
Well, no, I will say I did like the stop-motion animation.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and honestly, for me, that kind of... got me thinking back to the old Christmas classics.
Yes,
like, you know,
yes.
Rudolph. Mm-hmm. Frosty the Snowman was a cartoon.
But
Rudolph, and then Saint Nick or whatever. Yeah. You know,
all the different Christmas ones.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there was the New Year's Heat Miser and Cold Miser. And
I'm Mr. Heat Miser.
Yes. All that good stuff. That's fun, and I love stop motion.
Yeah.
There's something magical about stop motion animation.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and this one was good. Like, one scene that I always kept looking at was when Jack is reaching for the doorknob of the Christmas tree door. That just looks so fluid. Like, it's hard to believe that some of this was stop motion, where they had to just move it, you know, barely a little bit at a time, take a picture.
That's right.
And then...
Well, let me ask you this. Is there anything in this movie that even now when you watch and you say, I'm really impressed with that, that really, you know, that tickles me, that moves me, that that impresses me, other than what you just described?
Well, honestly, like going back and watching it, it wasn't just stop motion or stop animation the whole time. It was like a blending of actual filmed footage in addition to the stop motion animation, whatever it's called. Like, for example, when Sally makes the soup for, you know, evil doctor, whatever, when she dips her spoon with the holes in it, that's not stop animation.
Right.
That's because that liquid is actually flowing.
Right.
And, you know, then it goes right back to stop animation and it's so fluid.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, man,
I really like really how good. Interactive the whole world is.
Yeah,
because it's almost three-dimensional. You know, the camera, how the camera is swooping through the set, you know, winding its way through it and following in that way, and that adds to the fantasy and it pulls you in.
Mm-hmm.
It really isn't an immersive movie, I think. For me, it is. I can be pulled into it, even though, you know, I mean, I said some disparaging things just a few moments ago. It is immersive.
True.
And so I really appreciate that. And so, what's your big complaint?
My big complaint is that I feel like this movie is spectacle overload.
And what does that mean?
Okay, let's just go ahead and answer Philip's question right now.
This is from last episode.
Yes, last episode. Let me scroll down in the page here.
And he was asking a very specific question. I didn't understand that he was alluding to a... you said it was Aristotle's one of his steps.
An actual thing.
Yeah.
Okay. So last week on FCC 75, Philip. Patron Saint Philip.
Yes.
had a question for Michael and I. For Michael and me. Yes.
Yes.
He says.
For I.
He says, I would like to get you guys' thoughts on the idea of spectacle from a Christian perspective. What is its value, if any? is it inherently good or bad? And this, and he was asking from the standpoint of the Mad Max movie that we just covered a few episodes ago, episode 72, I believe. Okay, so gather around, kids.
Oh, good. Gather Brendan's around. Uncle Brendan's going to learn ya.
All right. Now, spectacle is the best word that we can get from the ancient Greek word opsis.
Oh, has a little bit of an optical.
Yes, that's where we get that. That's where we get that word, opsis. Or optical, optics, laser optics, fiber optics, all of that optic stuff.
Okay.
And it's meant to imply appearance, sight, and view. So we're dealing with the aesthetics
right.
of a production.
Okay.
The design. But not only the physical set design, but we're also dealing with the blocking of the actors, the placement of the actors in any given scene. And this applies for both stage and screen. Of course, back then in Aristotle's day, they didn't have a screen.
They didn't?
No.
Oh, sorry, Michael. Screen.
Yeah. Cecil B. DeMille is not that old.
Wow.
Now, in terms of art being content and form, spectacle is part of the form.
Right.
There's the message that, you know, that comes through in the art. The spectacle deals with what that message looks like on the screen or the stage. Now, it was Aristotle's opinion that spectacle was the least influential of the six elements of drama.
And I can see that, absolutely, because now we can launch into a discussion, the philosophical discussion of aesthetics, yes. right? Because that's purely subjective.
Yeah.
But yet there is an element of objectivity in it,
mm-hmm.
because they know how a general audience is going to react to something, even though that's subjective.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay, but okay. We won't do that right now.
Let me just throw out what those six elements are.
Please.
These are in his...
So this is what makes for good drama or tragedy.
Well, okay, well, here's the thing. Aristotle, when he was writing these things...
Was drunk.
He
No.
No.
Was kidding.
He wasn't writing them as, like, these are the way things should be. He was writing these things after he had already witnessed a lot of Greek tragedies.
This is not the way things should be, but the way that they are.
Yes, this is the way that they are. Now, some of the stuff is pretty good. Some of it might be questionable. Let's just listen.
All right.
The first... And most important is the plot itself, the action of the story. Second to that is the character, or characters, because they carry the action of the story.
The vehicle, huh?
Yes, exactly. They're the vessels.
Okay.
Then you have the thought. Now, thought can mean two things. One, you've got the thought of the characters while they're in the scene.
Or the overall sentiment.
Yes, the theme.
Okay.
Yes, what we would now call the theme. Then there's the dialogue in which those characters who are carrying the plot.
Wow, that's
you've
far
got
down
the dialogue.
The list.
Yeah. No, it's just number four, but all these things are like very up there.
Okay.
You've got the dialogue in which the characters verbally express the thoughts and the themes and however they can verbally drive the action of the play. And then you've got what we've translated into the music and melody. But what it actually means is the pacing of the sounds, like whether if it's an intense scene, it should be a little faster sounding.
Speaking of faster, John wants us to talk faster because he normally listens to the podcast at faster than normal speed. So can you pick up the pace?
One
and a half times what you're speaking right now.
Oh, goodness. Wait, okay. do I need to slow down?
No. You need to go faster.
I need to go faster. Yeah. Okay. Got it. And then we have spectacle. Spectacle is the visual.
Whoa.
I try to speak faster. I get choked
yeah.
up.
Yeah. See, John?
Okay. Spectacle is the visual aspect of the production. And just to quote Aristotle, spectacle has indeed an emotional attraction of its own, but of all the parts, it is the least artistic and least connected with the art of poetry.
Wow.
This is Aristotle. For the power of tragedy, we may be sure, is felt even apart from the representation and the actors. Besides, the production of spectacular effects depends more on the art of the stage machinist rather than the art of the poet. So when he says it's the least artistic and the least connected with the art of poetry, that refers to the techniques of communication that the storyteller is trying to use to tell the story.
You know, on the surface level, the temptation is to reject what he's saying.
Yeah.
But then you think about it, well, wait a second.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot of, like I said, some of it is cool to listen to.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see.
Wow.
And again, if you want to talk again about Marshall McLuhan's little phrase, the medium is the message.
Yeah.
If that's true, then spectacle is a huge part, because spectacle refers to that medium, not the message itself, but the medium.
It's going to detail it, that it does. That's what's going to draw in certain viewers.
Yeah.
Because they can already see, like, that's what trailers are for.
Michael, I'm going to be completely honest with you. Huh. I honestly think that is what has drawn the viewers.
Yes, absolutely.
Nightmare Before Christmas, because it is spectacle overload.
Yeah, yeah.
Because people want to see what it looks like when Halloween and Christmas mix together.
Wow. And I love it when Brendan learns us stuff.
That's where the fandom comes from.
Yes.
Not that there's anything wrong with it. That's just where it comes from. Now, whenever Aristotle says tragedy, he means drama. He means the overall or art of storytelling. For the power of tragedy, we may be sure, is felt apart from the actor's representation, meaning that the power of the story is more important than the visual effects and the flourishing.
It is, but the spectacle is what is the magnet. Is the initial magnet.
It's the tutor unto the story.
I like that.
And then, okay, so we've got all that. From a Christian perspective, if our goal is to spread a message, is spread the good news that Jesus told us to spread, that even though we deserve sin and death, we don't deserve sin, but even though we deserve death because of our sin, even though we have that, God has given us eternal life through Jesus Christ. If our goal is to spread that message, then it's up to us as the storytellers as to decide what type of spectacle draws in the audience to that message.
I would rather look at the spectacle as a road that for use in the Great Commission.
Yes.
What did Paul say? I'm going to do whatever I can to draw in as many as I can. And if that requires the spectacle of the Nightmare Before Christmas, We're gonna teach you today how to use this spectacle.
Yes, sir.
How to use the road that's created by the spectacle that draws in millions and millions and millions of people in order to spread the gospel.
Yes, sir. So then, just to get back to Patron Saint Philip's question, does it have any value to a Christian? Yes, but only as much as we give it.
Insofar
as we use it. Is it inherently good or a bad thing? Mm-hmm. Again, that's just dependent on how it's being used.
Were those Roman roads good for the first century Christians? Only if they walked them to go and spread the gospel. Them.
Exactly.
Is the internet good for 21st century Christians? Only if we use it to spread the gospel.
Oh, buddy.
That is what the Great Commission Transmission Network is all about. Oh, man.
So then, back to Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yes!
Well, I mean, honestly, that's why I think it's spectacle overload.
Yeah.
Because in my now subjective viewpoint, everyone stand back, I think the spectacle outweighs the message.
But, hey, of the film. Yeah, it detracts from the message, doesn't
unfortunately,
it?
Unfortunately, that's just my opinion. That's why I've grown out of liking this movie, because the spectacle is too much for the story to take.
The story cannot bear the weight of such spectacle.
Yes.
Good perspective. I like that. Well, let's see then if we can turn this around, Brendan.
Oh, most definitely.
Shall we? How you can use this film in order to spread the good news with friends and loved ones. I'm going to start off today because I think Brendan has the more poignant point. Poignant point. And my section is titled Hebel Without a Cause. Yes.
Hebel?
Yes.
Hebel?
That's like rebel, but with an H. Hebel without a cause. David Gaddy knows exactly what I'm going to talk about right now as GCT Network's resident theologian. The question I have is, well, I have several questions. Is Halloween Town a picture of our world, Brendan? Halloween Town in our world, spectacle. Well, maybe not just spectacle. Could Jack's quest to take over Christmas, if even just for 1 year, could that be a picture of mankind seeking to make a difference or to grasp for meaning? Mm, that reminds me of the Tower of Babel, right? Come, yeah. Let us build a tower. Why? To show the world that we're here. We are here. We have meaning. Well, this Halloween, the most successful ever, has had no positive effect on Jack.
I feel like the mayor just says that because he feels like he has to.
Yeah, he's when a there's politician.
There's no one really.
Well, we can launch into a whole. Should we scrap all this and talk about politics right now?
No, let's not. Let's
you
not.
Want to talk about Hebel? Okay, let's see here. Yeah. So it's the most successful ever. Well, it's had no positive effect on our hero Jack. He is empty, even though he is very much responsible for its success, as he always is. Well, as he's trying to ponder the meaning of life, you know, he stumbles across a place where he's never imagined, Christmas Town. And in turn, he covets it all. He covets it all. What is this?
The sights, the sounds, they're everywhere and all around. I've never felt so good before. This empty place inside of me is filling up. I simply cannot get enough. I want it, oh, I want it, oh, I want it for my own. I've got to know, what is this place that I have found? What is this?
He's impassioned right now. Oh. I want it. I want it all. Why? To fill up this empty place inside of me. But is it? Can it? Even more questions. So Jack hatches a plan to capture that feeling. He wants to give Sandy Claus the year off. Huh. Hey, take a break, Sandy. And he's
Sandy Claus.
So he comes back. He's all happy. He's trying to explain to everybody. Well, call a meeting right now and I'll tell everybody at once, you know, where I've been and what I've been doing. And he's trying to explain Christmas to them and they're not understanding it, but he's, you know, he's still excited in the moment. This is what I want. This is what I need. This will fill me up. But then he has that vision of the Christmas tree being consumed by fire. Like chaff.
Oh, no, he doesn't have that vision. Sally has that vision.
I thought he has a vision as well. They both have that vision.
Oh, do they?
Yes.
I must have missed Jax then.
Okay.
I just thought it was Sally. My bad. Sorry.
Well, there's that. So there's that vision of that. So that, but that's a foreboding, you know, image. Consumed. Burned up. The fire that consumes. Hebel. Maybe Hebel? I don't know. Let's take a closer look. This reminds me, we're going to spend time here, friends, in the scripture, if that's all right with you on this Christian podcast. And Ecclesiastes is what comes to mind. Let's jump right into the very first chapter of Ecclesiastes.
Oh, please.
And I'm going to read out of the NILT.
Oh, fine translation.
Yes, it is. Starts off in verse 1. These are the words of the teacher. Remember the teacher. Who's the teacher? King David's son who ruled in Jerusalem. Everything is meaningless, says the teacher. Completely meaningless.
The vanity of vanities.
Well, that's the word Hebel. Hebel.
Really?
Hmm. And it is translated vanity in the King James, American Standard Version, English Standard Version, New King James Version, Revised Standard Version, and the New Revised Standard Version. The NILT and the NIV both translate it as meaningless. So I'm drawing on Dr. Richard Beck and his...
Fine fellow.
Yes.
Fine
and fellow. His blog, Experimental Theology.
Yeah.
Okay. So go to experimentaltheology.com and
Dot blogspot.
Oh, okay. Okay, sorry. Yeah. And just do a word search for Ecclesiastes or Hebel, H-E-B-E-L. He says, to quote him, I prefer more literal translations of Hebel, because as I read the book of Ecclesiastes, Hebel, treated properly, is a blessing of God. That's completely opposite of how I've always been taught to read. Vanity of vanities. Meaningless. Meaningless. All is meaningless. He's looking at this at a little bit of a different angle. A different angled mirror is going to be the result, actually. And so he says, because I read the book of Ecclesiastes, as I read it, Hebel treated properly is a blessing of God. But treated improperly, Hebel is vanity and meaninglessness. To be sure, because of the nature of Hebel, things tilt toward the vain and futile. So he's not saying that it's all great and grand, but because of the nature of what Hebel really means, it tends to tilt towards vain and futile. But that's not the whole story, he says. Continues, I really like what The Voice has done with Hebel. Translation, The Voice,
okay,
which is a mixture of dynamic and thought for... oh, goodness. What's the... You have dynamic translations and you have... Blank.
Strict.
No. It's a technical term, but everybody knows what I mean. And so it's a mixing. It's kind of like the a little bit along the lines of the what did you use? The amplified version.
Okay.
And put things in brackets,
okay,
or italics. That's added to help flesh out the thoughts. But anyway, The Voice translates Hebel very consistently as fleeting. This is much closer to the literal meaning of Hebel, as it conveys the notion that vapor, breath, and mist are fleeting, transient, insubstantial, and impermanent. Think of sandcastles.
Mm.
How about that? Sandcastles aren't intrinsically vain or meaningless. Just because something doesn't last doesn't mean it is vain or meaningless. Who said that?
The vision.
Yes, last sir. Episode of Finding Christ in Cinema, listeners.
Something isn't beautiful because it lasts. Last.
No, something isn't beautiful because it lasts.
So, gotcha, yes.
So
yes,
what
yes.
he's saying is something is not vain or meaningless because it doesn't last.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm starting to understand the Hebraic thought behind this word Hebel. So, carrying on, it doesn't depend upon what you are expecting, what you are trying to do or accomplish with Hebel, which I think is a key lesson in Ecclesiastes. So now, next time you read through Ecclesiastes, and I'm going to encourage everybody after this episode to read through the book of Ecclesiastes, input that thought, sandcastles. Better yet, he says, the flowers in springtime are Hebel.
Hmm.
They are fleeting.
Yes.
But the flowers are not vain or meaningless. In their season, everything under the sun in their season, flowers are very, very meaningful. So, we're still in verse one.
Oh, man.
Carrying on. What do people get for all their hard work under the sun? He continues. Generations come and generations go, but the earth never changes. The sun rises and the sun sets, then hurries around to rise again. The wind blows south and then turns north. Around and around it goes, blowing in circles. Rivers run into the sea, but the sea is never full. Then the water returns again to the rivers and flows out to the sea. Everything is wearisome beyond description. No matter how much we see, we are never satisfied, Jack. No matter how much we hear, we are not content. History merely repeats itself. It has all been done before, is what Jack is saying. I've done this! Nothing under the sun is truly new. Sometimes people say, here is something new, but actually it is old. Nothing is ever truly new. We don't remember what happened in the past, and in future generations, no one will remember what we are doing now. Why? Because it's fleeting.
Mm-hmm.
It's fleeting. And Jack is struggling with that. Jack, but Sally.
But Sally.
But Sally. Mm-hmm. And she had a vision, too. And she had a vision that scared her.
Sally, I need your help more than anyone's.
You certainly do, Jack. I had the most terrible vision.
That's splendid.
No, it was about your Christmas. There was smoke and fire.
That's not my Christmas. My Christmas is filled with laughter and joy and this. My Sandy Claus outfit. I want you to make it.
Jack, please listen to me. It's going to be a disaster.
How could it be? Just follow the pattern. This part's red. The trim is white.
It's a mistake, Jack.
Now, don't be modest. Who else is clever enough to make my Sandy Claus outfit?
Next!
I have every confidence in you.
But it seems wrong to me. Very wrong.
I need your help, Sally. No, what you want, Jack, is wrong. You don't... You have what you have. You getting that you think is going to fill you up is not going to fill you up. Now, that's vanity. It seems wrong to me. Okay, so Jack continues his plan. He hijacks Christmas. Let's just cut to the chase. And he's flying, and he gets shot down.
Mm-hmm.
He gets shot down. He's lying in the arms of the angel in the cemetery. And he says, what have I done? How could I be so blind? He's coming to his senses. Why does nothing ever work out like it should?
Well, I have an idea why.
Why is that?
Well, it's my point. I'll just
It for later. Okay. So, but that goes right into that first reading of Ecclesiastes.
Yeah.
Why does anything ever work out like it should? Because you're forgetting the past, and you aren't paying attention. Is what you're not doing, Jack. But we have a solution for you here. It's coming up in just a moment. But that's right, he says, I am the Pumpkin King, and I just can't wait till next Halloween because I've got some ideas that will really make them scream. He's come to his senses. I'm Jack the Pumpkin King. I'm not Santa Claus. But he said, uh-oh. Oh, no. Yes, I hope there's still time to set things right. He has a change of heart. He's repenting from the direction that he's going, right? So he saves Santa from Oogie Boogie, and he turns to Santa and says, you know, can you fix things? Can you fix things in time? Well, yeah, of course he can.
He'll fix things, Jack. He knows what to do.
How did you get down here, Sally?
Oh, I wanted to
help
me. I couldn't let you just...
Sally... I can't believe I never realized that you...
Jack!
Yeah, Sally. But Sally.
No.
I never realized that you... What? Never realized that you love me.
Oh.
She always has, and she's always been helping one way or another. She's thrown herself out of towers and had to sew herself back together and did everything that she can in order to care for her Jack. She loves Jack. And that is a touching love story in this movie. When you look at it from this angle, he didn't see. He's been blinded because he's trying to grab for things that aren't his and are not going to fill up the empty spaces. She's been there the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
She has been there the whole time. And now Jack finally sees what is meaningful, what is beautiful, even though it won't last because it is Hebel. Fleeting under the sun. Who in their right mind, Brendan, would say that love between a man and a woman and family and this kind of love, who in their right mind would say it's vanity? Who in their right mind would say that that is meaningless? Nobody. I challenge any listener to say that the love that you have for your wife has no value to it, is meaningless, is just a vapor, it's a waste of time. No, you won't say that, and that's why Dr. Richard Beck is correct. Hebel is mistranslated in almost every Bible that we all read collectively.
Mm-hmm.
It should be translated as fleeting. Keep that in mind as you are you're seeking after things or you're living your life, don't think that they're meaningless. Realize that they are fleeting, and then lay your treasure up in heaven. Store your treasure up in heaven where neither moth nor rust can get to it, right? That's what we're instructed to do. But don't ever say that love that between two people is fleeting. I mean, say that, because it is fleeting. You're going to die. In fact, let's get back to the text. Let's go back to the teacher in our second reading from Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 7 through 10. And this is where Jack is now at the end of the story. So go ahead, eat your food with joy and drink your wine with a happy heart, for God approves of this. Wear fine clothes with a splash of cologne. Live happily with the woman you love through all the fleeting days of life that God has given you under the sun. The wife God gives you, Jack, is your reward for all your earthly toil. Whatever you do, Jack, do well. For when you go to the grave, there will be no work or planning or knowledge or wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Jack, here's your gift. Man, you don't need Christmas Town. You don't need Christmas. You have everything God gave you in your fleeting days of life, and they're blessed by Him. Love, love. Oh, and it's so beautiful because now Jack's eyes are open.
My dearest friend, if you don't mind, I'd like to join you by your side, where we can gaze into the stars and sit together now and forever, for it is plain, as anyone can see, we're simply meant to be.
A gift from God. How beautiful. And let's go to our last reading out of Ecclesiastes and back to the teacher. Everything is fleeting, says the teacher, completely fleeting, like sandcastles, like the flowers of spring.
Mm-hmm.
But keep this in mind. The teacher was considered wise, and he taught the people everything he knew. He listened carefully to many proverbs, studying and classifying them. The teacher sought to find just the right words to express truths clearly. The words of the wise are like cattle prods, painful, but helpful. Their collected sayings are like a nail-studded stick with which a shepherd drives the sheep.
Ooh.
But my child, let me give you some further advice. Be careful, for writing books is endless, and much study wears you out. That's the whole story. Here now is my final conclusion. This is your key text, friends. So when you are watching whatever this is called, The Nightmare Before Christmas, and you are sitting on your...
No.
Well, I guess so. It could be.
Fully armed and...
That's what you say to your friend.
Double-decker couch.
If you say that to your friend, you're really going to creep them out.
Okay? If they like Star Wars.
Well, yeah. So anyway, you're sitting on your double-decker couch, and you remember Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 through 14. That's the whole story. Here now is my final conclusion. It all comes down to this, is what the teacher says. Fear God and obey His commands, for this is everyone's duty. God will judge us for everything we do, including every secret thing, whether good or bad. That is a running theme throughout the whole entire Bible. Brendan, fear God and obey His commands, mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I don't know. Did you have any questions about what I presented? Did you want to add to anything on that? I think the book of Ecclesiastes is in A Nightmare Before Christmas.
Oh, there you go. And I think I'll add to it.
Oh, right.
With this little point right here.
Uh-huh.
Short and sweet, Michael.
Yes.
Halloween and Christmas didn't work. Jack's plans didn't work because there was no love in them.
Oh, tell us more.
Well, you know, Mike, as you just described, this whole time Jack's, you know, fighting for something that isn't his. He's trying to take over something, hijack something that isn't his. He just wants... superficially, it could be argued that he wants the notoriety, the public favor.
Of
having both holidays, Halloween and Christmas. But there's something deeper going on.
Oh, somewhere deep inside of these bones, an emptiness began to grow. There's something out there far from my home, a longing that I've never known.
Very nice.
Yeah, thank you.
So there's this longing. And that's the key word I want to focus on. There's longing that Jack has, this desire, this deep and earnest desire that he's not getting from Halloween Town. That desire is not being fulfilled, satisfied, met, however you want to put it. It's not there. So he goes to Christmas Town. He just happens literally to stumble upon Christmas Town.
Yeah.
And he's looking around and he can... Okay, sidebar, I cannot take David Gaddy in the chat room right now.
Should I kick him out?
No, don't.
Oh, okay.
Don't kick him out.
He's a moderator. I can't.
First, there was, with the Hebel yell, she cried more and more and more. And now there's, Hebel, your face is a
That's
mess.
That's me.
Get out of here.
That's a hat tip to David Bowie.
Anyway.
Hebel, your face. You tore your dress.
Anyway, yeah. he stumbles upon Christmas Town.
Yes,
and he's looking at all these all this spectacle, and then something stirs those bones that he said were so empty. Something warms them.
There's children throwing snowballs instead of throwing heads. They're busy building toys, and absolutely no one's dead. There's frost in every window. Oh, I can't believe my eyes. And in my bones, I feel the warmth that's coming from inside.
Oh, look! What now? They're hanging mistletoe.
They kiss. Sing.
Yes, okay.
Those are monkey feet.
Anyway,
yeah.
He's now feeling that warmth. He's feeling that satisfaction, that release. He's feeling that closure, that longing is being filled. And he's getting it from Christmas.
Yeah.
So then he wants to take this back to Halloween Town, this feeling, back to Halloween Town. And at the town meeting, he tries to get everyone hyped, but they just don't get it.
Well, at least they're excited, but they don't understand that special kind of feeling in Christmas land. Oh, well.
And that's it. Oh, well. Because, yes, he has the love within him. He has that longing fulfilled, that dream fulfilled. He has that, but the town doesn't.
And I just love how he's got that from Christmas.
Yes. Yeah, yes, from Christ Mass.
Yes.
Yes. He has it, the town doesn't. But he says, oh, well, we're going to go on. And this, since we've been talking about, you know, Greek theater, this is the fatal flaw.
Oh.
This is the hamartia.
Oh, goodness.
This is his one mistake, is to enforce everyone else to move on with this project without love.
Oh, and it doesn't work. Oh, I love that.
It doesn't work because of that. Key text, everyone. Nice, short, simple, sweet, to the point. Key text, 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3, from the NILT version.
Yay.
If I could speak with all the languages of earth and of angels, but did not love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and even if I had such a faith that I could move mountains but did not love others, I would be nothing.
Nada.
If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. In and out. Your boy Brendan.
Your boy Brendan.
In and out.
Great.
The point is, Christmas didn't work in Halloween Town, and Halloween Town did not work in Christmas Town because there was no love. Shoot, you even want to look at Mr. Oogie Boogie about to torture Santa Claus?
Yeah.
There's that confrontation right there.
Yep.
You got the figureheads of both holidays. Well, you know.
Yep.
Respectively speaking. And they're butting heads. They can't coexist. There's no
love
between them.
What would fix this?
A little love.
Yeah.
A little love. That's all it is.
So do you think Jack should have turned around and put a little effort into stirring up some love in them?
Yeah. And I think honestly, maybe
it's like this, but it would be like casting the seed. You know, he's casting the seed. They just happen to be the hard ground, huh?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Good. That's a good ministry picture right there. Wow. But you got to cast the seed, and he was casting the seed. So yeah,
you still got to cast the seed. No matter your only job as an evangelical, as a Christian, well, I don't want to say it's the only job, but regarding spreading the word, you're only supposed to spread the seed.
Our part in the salvation of souls is strictly casting the seed or watering
it. Or watering it. Yes, exactly.
God, we say it on every episode,
yeah.
But we got to get this into our heads, Christians. You know, patron Saint Ron of the Red Oaks, a few weeks ago, he and I like to have Facebook conversation, messenger conversations. We had a great one last night. Oh my goodness, he's such a blessing to me. But a while ago, he said something I've forgotten to say it on every single episode since. You know, he has a farm. He has property, and he grows stuff on there. I mean, he has a job outside of the home, but he's a farm boy. And he says, you know what? In all of my life, I have never planted seed, and saw it and watched it grow immediately. You plant it, and he plants it, and goes away.
Yeah.
And comes back and checks on it and whatever. Never once has he had the privilege of casting seed and standing there and watching it, you know, grow to fruition.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's never going to happen. And I thought, what a brilliant, brilliant observation. And so I'm glad that I finally remembered. Thank you, Brendan, for that little conversation. That
you're welcome.
Yeah, because it's important for us as Christians to know. Some of us, you know, got in our heads at a young age that if we are effectual witnesses for Christ, we're going to see results.
Mm-hmm.
We may never see the results.
Because, Michael, this is a society.
Yeah. Well, that's,
Where the satisfaction of that longing is immediate.
Well, and also, you know, we're looking to take a little bit of glory, aren't we?
True, true.
Oh, instead of stepping aside, doing what we were asked to do for the king, and then moving on and letting him receive the glory when that seed sprouts and bears fruit. It's his glory.
Mm-hmm.
So listeners, dear listeners, listen to what Brendan's saying here on this point. And we have to get ourselves out of the glory process. Just plant the seed and water the seed. Do your duty for the king because he is worthy. Wow. Anything else, Brendan?
No, I'm good.
Man, we redeemed A Nightmare Before Christmas. I love it. Time for some feedback. And as usual, we are going to go to our dear brother. What?
Who goes there? It is I.
Patron Saint Philip.
It's a trap.
No, it's not. He's going to take us over to King Solomon, or King Philip. See, now I'm saying Solomon because I read out of Ecclesiastes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's very apropos because we're always getting wisdom from patron Saint Philip, too. King Philip.
True.
Wow! True. The teacher. We can also call him the teacher.
Yes.
Patron Saint, teacher Philip.
No,
teacher King Philip.
Too much.
Too much?
Too much. Patron Saint Philip's enough.
Oh, okay. He left a comment on the last episode number 75 of Finding Christ in Cinema, Age of Ultron, Grace and Redemption. That was a great episode. Hey, guys, it's been good to have you cover a couple of Marvel films as we head into the autumn. Avengers Age of Ultron happens to be the only movie I've seen in a theater this year. Wow. And like many other people, I found it to be not as amazing as the first Avengers film.
Aha.
My expectations were tempered since I was blown away by the first Avengers movie and felt it was unrealistic to think it would happen again. Hey, interjection. What a sensible man. Mm-hmm. That's what happens when you get to be middle-aged.
Oh, okay. Wait, you become more sensible or you become
You're
more...
supposed to. Oh, okay. That's what I hear.
Okay.
I'm waiting well, around.
Let me know when you get there.
You may catch up to me in age. All right. So getting back, he says, I plan to rewatch it soon, but this is a good reminder for me to have healthy expectations about all things, not just entertainment. I find that my enjoyment of something is very closely related to my expectations going in. Interjection. This ties right into the conversation we just had.
Yeah.
I see how he does that? I don't know how he does that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's amazing. Okay. Back to his... When those expectations are greatly exceeded, I love it. When they are not met, I get disappointed. Therefore, I try to have realistic expectations so as to not get down on something, and I attempt to stay positive. Oh, man, great thoughts. John 16:33, out of the New King James Version, how would we say? New King James Version states.
The Inkjiv.
These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. This is Jesus speaking. In the world... you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.
Mm-hmm.
We can experience trouble, but still have peace in Christ. We should expect trouble and not be surprised by it, and also not conclude that it is a result of God not caring about us. If I practice realistic expectation when it comes to movies, I can help prepare myself to be realistic and have healthy expectations about life in general. If I succeed in doing so, I can save myself from getting mad at God or having bitterness about my circumstances. I hope that makes sense. Love the show, guys. Hashtag
Movie Lot Giveaway.
Of course it makes sense.
Well, yeah, it makes sense.
Perfect sense. Hey, John Wilkerson sent us a voicemail, and it's lost in the ether. It never made it here.
Oh,
but man. This gives me the opportunity to mention to all the listeners out there that John is indeed, you've heard us, you know, he's in the chat room, heard us mention it before. I don't know if it was before we went live or not, but he's in the hospital, and he had shoulder shoulder surgery a few days ago, and they went in, and you know, he had been going through physical therapy and, you know, with the doctor and trying to schedule time for them to get in there and fix this, and oh yeah, you have, you know, such and such wrong, and we'll go in there and fix it. Finally gets in there for surgery. Oh, he's at home right now, actually. So he finally gets in for surgery. They go in there and say, it was worse than what we thought, which, oh, man, how often does that happen? It was worse than what we thought. And so he got 4 puncture wounds in his shoulder, you know, I guess arthroscopic.
Mm.
But anyway, there's a lot of pain going on in there. And so I want everybody to keep John in your prayers. It was funny because the other day I was praying, okay, and this was the day of his surgery. And you know, I'm praying and, you know, what, you know, God, you know what's on my heart, you know what's on my mind, and blah, blah, blah. And then it finally dawned on me, why am I praying for me? You know, and so I start, I need to offer up a couple of people in prayer, Lord. One of them is John. He's going through, about to go through a surgery. As soon as I'm done, and I go back out, and I'm, you know, sitting at the computer doing some work for FCC, you know, I see his tweet was tweeted an hour ago. Hey, had the surgery done. Everything went fine. I messaged him. I said, oh, man, I missed it.
Yeah.
I'm glad to see my prayer worked retroactively, though.
Good.
So anyway, everybody keep John in your prayers. And hopefully you get have a speedy recovery and you're back behind the podcast microphones over there at thewiredhomeschool.com soon. Anything else, Brendan?
Oh, I think it's time for a little well-mannered frivolity.
Why? We have
some? Oh, yeah. Frivolity.
Well, we had to miss it last week.
Oh, yes, we did.
We were a little behind schedule.
Okay.
But hey, now, 70-minute episode. What do you say?
I don't know. It looks like if it happens, it will be the only time ever, because I have come to the conclusion that this show will never, ever be less than an hour and a half.
Well, then let us tarry no longer. Because The Martian is on the Monday movie review this week.
Oh, yes.
Bubba, let me tell you, this was the best movie I've seen in a while.
Awesome.
It was so good. Now, granted, you know, a little bit of language filters up.
Yeah.
But it is excellent.
Mac and Cheese Damon?
Matt Damon, excellent.
Yeah, well, he's a fine actor.
Jessica Chastain, excellent.
Fine actress.
Jeff Daniels, I was surprised.
Yeah.
But excellent.
Awesome.
Sean Bean.
Oh, Sean Bean's in it? FCC's very own Sean Bean. Boromir. Yes.
And I'm just going to tell you guys right now, the funniest moment in the movie is with Sean Bean.
Huh.
And that's all I'm going to say.
Oh, okay.
Hashtag meta.
Hey, and Brendan found some great great Christian angle on this film that you can use now before we even review it on the show. So get over to ChristInCinema.com and read Brendan's Monday movie review on Marvin.
Hello, Earthlings. I am Marvin the Martian.
No? Just the Martian. Matt Damon. Mac and Cheese Damon the Martian.
All right. Hey, I secured the rights to the theme song for our brand new forthcoming Tolkien themed show on GCT Network.
And
doesn't that sound like you're in the Shire, you're a Hobbit, you're Frodo Baggins or Bilbo Baggins or Samwise Gamgee? That song is called Hobbit's Dance by a band called the Brobdingnagian Bards. And that was featuring a friend of mine, Mark Gunn, on the auto harp. Mark Gunn, he's solo now. As far as I know, I don't think the Brobdingnagian Bards are doing anything. But Mark Gunn, he is a Renaissance Festival participant.
Oh, okay.
So he does his, you know, he has an act. That's what he does.
Cool, cool.
But he records and makes CDs all the time. I have a pile of his CDs back here. I'm in the process of ripping them now. But so he makes those in order to sell at the Renaissance fairs and things. And he's just a great guy. And I sent them an email requesting, hey, I want to use this. Here's the circumstances under which it's going to be used. I want to make sure that you understand that this is an overtly Christian show.
Yeah.
You know, and all that stuff. And Mark flipped it over to his partner Andy. Emails me back. By all means, use it. So I'm very excited about having that. So that's good stuff.
All right.
What else?
Well, the Christmas show at the Fly, full swing.
Yes.
Full swing. But I, as the director, am asking for prayers for guidance, clarity, and encouragement.
Why is that?
So, well, it's just...
Is it heavy?
It's getting a little out there, more than what I had anticipated.
Okay, okay.
So
you just want some help from the good Lord so it doesn't get away from you.
Yeah, well, right. Well, because, you know, as you know, we love the message of A Christmas Carol.
Yeah.
And that's the play I'm directing.
Yeah.
And I want to make sure that...
Oh, you want to honor God in every way.
I want to make sure that it is pleasing to God.
Yes.
And best representing of him.
Amen, brother. So everybody, please keep Brendan and his Christmas production in your prayers. I am working on a brand new video in the Between You and Me series. And so...
Wait, is this the one where you start off far away from the camera and then you lean in?
Well, everybody will find out when it makes its way to gctnetwork.com. I'm scripting it out right now. It shouldn't be too long. And there's going to be a special cameo appearance by one of the founders here at GCT Network. So,
oh, good.
So stay tuned for that.
Oh, good, and, good.
So hopefully, I don't know, within a week or two, we'll have that up.
Oh, well, amidst everything, I've also been volunteering with the Motlow State Community College Honors Program.
Well.
As chaperone/driver to a couple events.
Oh, nice.
Not last week, but the week before, we went to Shiloh Battlefield.
Oh.
Which is about...
See any ghosts?
No.
No.
No, okay. We didn't see any... Well, we were in the middle of the day, so it was kind of hard to see ghosts with sunlight.
Yeah, sunlight.
But tomorrow, Friday,
you'll see ghosts.
Well, we're going to Huntsville, Alabama.
Okay.
And we're going to essentially a ghost walk.
Oh, wow.
And what it'll be, it's kind of like what I've done in Murfreesboro with Haunted Murfreesboro.
Uh-huh.
We'll walk around the historic square, tell stories of some of the houses, some of the spooky stories or legends of the area.
Oh, wow.
And what we're going to do tomorrow is we'll leave campus probably around 12 or 12:30. Get to Huntsville, do an afternoon tour.
You know, they have that settlement, that 1800 settlement or whatever down there. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't know what you're talking
about. Oh, man.
I haven't been to Huntsville in a while.
Okay.
So. But we'll do the afternoon tour, and then we'll have a good dinner break, and then we'll come back for the night tour.
Oh, wow.
And that's going to be the good one.
That's neat.
Yeah, it's going
to
be
cool. I can't wait to hear about that next time we get together for Finding Christ in Cinema. I watched a documentary this past week on Netflix.
Do tell.
And only because Gaddy wills it.
No, Gaddy. You said Gaddy?
Yeah.
I said Daddy.
No, everybody says that. It's his last name is Gaddy.
Yeah.
Do you think his last name is Daddy?
That's what you sound like.
No, I did not.
Okay, we'll do it again.
Gaddy wills it! Yes, he said, you need to watch Room 237 documentary on Netflix to get prepared for your upcoming episode, your Halloween special on The Shining.
Oh.
So I'm just going to challenge everybody out there to watch this documentary, and that's all I'm going to say.
How graceful of you, Michael.
Yes, do you have anything?
How withholding of you, Michael.
Do you have anything else?
No, I'm frivolized out.
All right, last thing for me is this Saturday, October 17th at the Coffee County Fairgrounds is the One Day of Hope event. It's 9 a.m. until 3 p.m. Longtime listeners may have seen the video that I produced for the Follow Me series. If not, you can find that on GCTnetwork.com, but I interviewed one of the board of directors of the One Day of Hope. Last year, over 25 churches got together and served and ministered to over 4,000 people in need in Coffee County. This year, there are up towards 40 churches working together. And these people, the people that they're serving are getting getting food and clothing, coats, you know, winter's coming up, and medical care, dental care, haircuts, everything, anything and everything in any way that we can serve them, and very exciting. And I'm hoping to be there with the camera again this Saturday and put together a video about that. Pretty exciting. So anybody that's in the area, come on down to the Coffee County Fairgrounds. And if you're not in this area, find out how you can do the same thing in your area. Because all counties, I would imagine that every county has people in there that need help, okay, that need to be ministered to.
Yeah,
and definitely. So other than that, Brendan, do we have a... Oh! The lightning round!
We actually do.
Okay.
But let me take a drink of water.
Oh, he needs a drink of water. We have a couple of Spotify picks, it looks like.
Yes, yes. I love a good Spotify pick.
Yes.
Now, okay, this one, for me, just browsing through of what Spotify was actually suggesting to me. And Michael, I got to say, so far, Spotify has not let me down on their suggestions.
Well.
They've got me down to a T.
Wonderful.
This one, this certain pick, the group that does it, that produces it, they're just called the Crossing Music.
Okay.
And specifically, it's a Christian group, and they have this collection called the Liturgy of Seasons, Hymns Retold. So I'm trying to think of the best way to say it. It's four different albums, each dedicated to a season.
No. That's what I'm talking about on my pick.
What?
Okay, continue on.
What? I don't think it's the same thing. I mean, it might be the type. Okay. Well, there's a link in the show notes to crossingsongs.com.
Uh-huh.
All one word, you know, crossingsongs.com. And they've got all their albums for sale. I'm thinking about buying them because they look really the album. I like album art. Now the songs, you think
that's one of the reasons why vinyl LPs are still superior.
Oh, well, there you go.
Get some actual art.
There you go. Now this one, let's see. Just for example, there's Summer's Throne, Spring's Ardor. I don't know if I even say that. Winter's Woe, and Something for fall. There's gonna be fall in there somewhere. Anyway,
I'll take care of
fall. Think of it like a chamber music instruments, a little bit of harp, a little guitar, strings, and of course they interweave some of the psalms. In there. Okay. So it's really good.
I'm gonna have to check that out.
Definitely check it out. Crossingsongs.com, the Liturgy of Seasons.
All right, and now just a disclaimer: I only use Spotify to listen to. Well, for two reasons. One, I want to listen to something that I do not have. And mm-hmm. I have a gigantic music collection, see, because I prefer to own music. And I have tens of thousands of LPs and hundreds of thousands of digital songs and all kinds of stuff because I'm a music fanatic. So Spotify is good for hearing things that I've never heard before to see if I want to own it. And to share things. If I want to share a song, if I want people on Facebook to hear something, then I'll go to Spotify and share that because that's a great feature there. So I want everybody to go to Spotify or wherever and look up this band, Broceliande, Broceliande. And they are Celtic and Irish and traditional and European folk. I mean, they're a big conglomerate. I mean, some of their songs are sung in Spanish, some are in old French. Mostly it's in English, but and they also many albums, but they also have four albums for the seasons. Hey. And right now, because it is fall, autumn, my very favorite season, I've been listening nonstop to their album called Barley Rigs. And I recommend if you're a seasonal, fan and you love Celtic and Irish and old, Renaissance and
folky.
Yes. And medieval and things like that. Get over there and check them out and see if you like them. Songs such as The Barleycorn, The Bando Shearers, The Magpipe is a really neat song. Now Westland Winds, all kinds of things. Cambric Shirt, which is a take on Scarborough Fair.
Really?
All right. Just great, great album. I've been listening to it, like I said, nonstop. I love Broceliande. I actually interviewed them on a radio show a few years ago because they have an album called Starlit Jewel. You can't buy it digitally. You have to buy the hard copy from them, but it is all Tolkien songs. Inspired by and Tolkien's poetry and songs that are written in the books, but they put music to it. These people are extremely talented, and they have harps and flutes and mandolins and cello and all kinds of things. So anyway, go and look up Broceliande, Broceliande, and enjoy Barley Rigs. Their seasonal album for the autumn time. Yeah, Brendan, what's coming up?
Oh, well, next week, per Michael's request.
Oh, come on, don't be rolling your eyes and acting like this is a bad thing.
Ladies and gentlemen, per Michael's request and David's encouragement.
Yes, Gaddy Wilson.
Gaddy Wilson.
Yes.
We're going to be going back.
Back?
To the future.
Yeah!
Part two.
But unfortunately, it won't be the future anymore. It'll be one day in the past.
Yeah, that's true.
Whoa!
Because
we can't call it Back to the Future anymore.
Oh, darn. Whatever will we do?
Yes, they landed in Hill Valley October 21st, 2015. And we will be talking about it on October 22nd, 2015, Lord willing. Mm. And the Cubs are in the Super Bowl or something.
The Super Bowl?
I don't know what Michael. They do.
Okay, Michael doesn't sports anybody.
No.
Everybody's listening. Michael does not sports.
I mean, how about that? If the Cubs go to the World Cup, okay, and they win it, back to Robert Zemeckis is a prophet. Wait a second. Nobody's wearing their pants inside out. However, he didn't foresee kids wearing their pants at their ankles. Oh, boy, it's going to be a fun episode. Okay, what else?
Oh, man. Okay, so then after that, after next week, the week after.
Oh, it's the World Series.
We're going to The Shining. And that'll be our Halloween special.
We're going to Colorado.
Oh, we're going to the Stanley Hotel.
Wow.
Yes, sir.
Okay, everybody watch that that documentary that David made me watch, Room 237.
Yeah, that's a kick.
Gaddy wills it.
After The Shining?
Yes.
We'll be, you know, getting into something a little bit newer.
Yeah!
With Jurassic World.
Oh, I can't wait! That was a fun movie, and I can't wait to get back to Chris Pratt. And...
FCC's very own.
Yeah, FCC's very own Chris Pratt and...
Bryce Dallas Howard.
Yes. And Pi. Life of Pi.
Oh, that guy.
Old Pi.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I love
the
him.
The grown Pi. The older, mature Pi.
All right. Good deal.
And then after Jurassic World, well, let's just go ahead and get it out until Thanksgiving.
Okay.
After Jurassic World, we'll finally go back to the Wizarding World.
Yes.
With Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince.
Good.
And then something else a little bit newer. Inside Out.
Oh,
Disney Pixar's latest
Can't
movie.
Wait to watch that.
Oh, you're going to love it.
Okay, good.
And then Thanksgiving week, we're going to be taking a little
break.
We're
going to take Thanksgiving off.
Mainly because that's opening week for the play.
Yeah.
And then also just because.
Maybe I'll record something small and special, or have Brendan record something small or special, or I don't know.
Or find a guest host. I don't know.
No, there's no. Can't do it.
Hey, I'm just saying.
My boy Brendan.
I'm your boy
Brendan. You said it.
Yeah. It's your boy. And then, by golly, after Thanksgiving, we'll be hitting hard some more Christmas movies.
Oh, yes! Our second annual December Christmas
movie-thon.
Yes, movie-thon. Movie-thon. 4 weeks. Four movies.
4 weeks, four Christmases.
Oh, yes. And, of course, we're going to do another version of...
A Christmas Carol.
Yeah!
We have to.
Every year. Man, that's a lot of stuff coming up, and it's super exciting, and you don't want to miss any of it. So I'm going to tell you right now, dear listeners, Finding Christ in Cinema is live in the GCT Network studio each Thursday, Lord willing, at around 4 p.m. Eastern Time. You can join us for live video, and especially the chat. It's been full today and having a good time. You know, use the chat room and the video players at gctnetwork.com/live. Finding Christ in Cinema is part of the Great Commission Transmission Network, a listener-supported ministry using new media and social networking to equip and encourage you to go into all the world and proclaim the good news to everyone. To find out more and to partner with us, visit us at gctnetwork.com/donate. Now, if you want to...
Witness the firepower of this fully armed and operational...
Digital ministry, missionary ministry, whatever it is, including all 76 episodes of Finding Christ in Cinema, Brendan's Monday Movie Reviews, and links to all our social media profiles, visit our website at christincinema.com. If you're old-fashioned, you don't like any of this technology, use the Pony Express and send us an email at fcc@gctnetwork.com.
Now, if you're really old-fashioned,
yeah,
and you have what Alexander Graham Bell invented with, what's it called, a telephone?
Yeah.
If you have a telephone, or, you know, the modern iteration of it, the cell phone, or even the app called SpeakPipe, whatever you want to do, leave us a voice line at 507-407-GCTN.
Sounds easy enough.
Now, if that line doesn't work, because, you know, here at the commission, here at the studio, the phone line, there's been construction in the roads. Sometimes they'll cut into the main line, but they'll leave the secondary line perfectly. And if that doesn't work, you know, just call 507-407-4286.
You know what happened last time? Hmm. They found it impacted with...
I don't like falafel.
They didn't like falafel, and they had to cut that line short.
Yes.
Now, if you just want to listen to the show... And you love duct tape.
Yes.
Love duct tape.
And the air got to it.
The air got to it.
You can go to iTunes, you can go to Stitcher, and you can go to TuneIn Radio and search them all for Finding Christ in Cinema.
It's a madhouse! A madhouse!
And for all the shows that we produce here at the Great Commission Transmission Network, including our brothers in Texas, the Theonauts! Get over to our official website at gctnetwork.com. Brendan Taylor, anything else?
I jumped through the pumpkin patch.
And that is a wrap!
Potatoes!
Oh, no. It's wrong potatoes!
Laugh it up, fuzzball.
I thought my jokes were bad.
You know I hate comedians.
I told you he was tricks.
One does not simply walk into Mordor.
Never tell me the odds.
It's a trap!
I thought we were good.
Not tell anyone else of your bursting.
It's pretty mind-blowing.
tuned in to the GCT Network.
This is your Great Commission transmission
at GCTNetwork.com. It's time for Finding Christ in Cinema, episode number 76. I'm Michael.
Oh, no, no, I just remembered it. Stop, 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 stop. I just remembered what David told me to do. It was David Gaddy. I just remembered. Oh. Do it again. Do it again.
Hashtag.
Hashtag.
Gaddy wills it.
Gaddy wills it.
Okay. All right, here we go.